the recognition of authority. He recognized a higher authority in his life. It wasn't just about him and what his desires were, what was easy for him, but it was about someone bigger than him, someone who had authority in his life. And if you look at the life of Joseph, we see that as a defining factor in his life. You track through that story. And further on in his life, middle age, toward the end of life, as his brothers came to him and they were worried about retribution, Joseph said, "Don't worry about it. There's a higher authority in my life, and because of that higher authority, you don't need to worry about me trying to get even. I've forgiven you because God allowed this to happen, and he's the authority here." And I believe that that is just a beautiful picture of proper view of authority, God's authority in our lives. How would you define authority? School teachers, you should be quick with definitions here. How would you define authority? Okay, someone over top of you. Okay, anyone else? Sorry. Okay, who gets to call the shots? Power from the author. Okay, thank you. Those are all good places to begin. Just definition I've written down is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. So you have that, some of those different thoughts were all kind of parts of that. I did want to comment the thought there of the author. So you look at the word authority, root word would be author. So think of God as the author, God writing the rules, and he has the power to give orders. The next couple days, we will look at how authority affects our relationships. So, my authority over others, being under authority to other people. God's authority in my life is the basis for others' authority in my life and also for my authority in the lives of others. So as school teachers, school board, your authority is going to be a big part of your teaching. It's whether you like being in authority or under authority or not, it's going to have a large impact in your life in the coming school year. But God's authority is the overarching, the basis for all these other authorities that work out on a more practical level. And that's why it's important for us to look at this today. I'd like to think of God's authority a little bit to begin with. So part of God's character, his incomprehensibility, is his complete authority. And we live with it, we just accept it. We don't spend too much time analyzing God's authority because it's so much a part of our lives automatically. But God's authority is a part of who he is. And I think we could say it's an attribute of God. It's part of God, his authority. Now, I'd like to divide that down a little bit. There's really kind of two parts of God's authority. And one of those is the things that I can do nothing about. So you think of the natural laws, you think of the weather, gravity, things like that you have no control over. You can't change it. And so we just automatically, we live with it. And we don't think that much about it. But that is part of God's authority. Is that those immutable things that God has set up. The other aspect of God's authority then is the things that God has delegated. So we have the things that God has set in place and there's nothing you can do about it. And then over here you have the things that God has delegated that authority to other people, to other, mostly to people. Just an example of that. Think of salvation. So God has provided salvation. We have a choice whether we accept that or not. So because I realize I'm not going to try to dissect free will and some of that, go a lot of different ways with some of that, but there are things that God has given us a choice in. But just because God has given us a choice does not mean that he does not have the authority. He has the authority to give us the choice. If you can take that logic down the line a little bit. God has chosen, he has the authority to limit himself. So he's chosen to limit himself by giving man a free will. And yet, again, God chose to do that. It was in his authority to give that to man. We don't usually question the authority of God. Natural world, gravity, the weather. We wish the weather was different. Can't change it. There's nothing you can do. Why, if we look at gravity, we look at the weather, and we say, we don't even consider trying to change it, why do you at times think about, you know, maybe what God said over here is not as binding as what he said over here. Why are we tempted to think that we can pick and choose a little bit what parts of God's authority we want to submit to? You remember the story of creation, and God had created this beautiful place. Adam and Eve lived there. And the serpent came to Eve. She said, "Yea, hath God said." Does God actually know what he's talking about? Does God actually have the authority to say this? Who cares? This fruit looks just as good as the next tree. And that questioning of God's authority is followed down through time. What do you have complete control over? Do you have complete control over anything? Think about God's authority, God's complete authority. What do you have control over? You have a pet, small animal. Maybe you can control them. Think of a small child. If you can physically restrain them, you could say that you have complete authority, although I question a little bit if you actually do. Pretty hard to pry a child's mouth open. What do you have complete authority over? Very few things. And you think you do, sometimes. You rarely do. God's authority in my life. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8 if you have them. I'd like to look at a few scriptures. So you think of God's authority in my life, in your life. What does that look like? We have here a story. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Probably down to verse 13 is kind of the end of the story. I'll probably skip a few verses in there. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, thy servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I'm going to skip down to verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now, that story is probably as much about faith as it is about authority. But it's very intriguing to think of this centurion. Jesus said, I'll come heal him. And the centurion said, no. I'm a Gentile. I'm not worthy that you would come to my house. He said, you know, I'm a centurion. I have 100 men under me. And when I tell a man to go do something, he does it. And I have the faith that all you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. Because that's how authority works. It says Jesus marveled. He said, I have not seen a faith like this in Israel. And here's this Gentile man. And he understands that I have the authority to simply say the word. Turn over to the book of John, chapter 14. Again, I'm going to be picking verses out, and these verses speak of obedience. So, God's authority in my life means that I will obey. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Over to chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And verse 14, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you take these verses, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you're going to serve me, keep my commandments. To be under God's authority means to do what God says. It's very simple. And yet we tend to struggle with that. We tend to run up against that. But if our lives, if we are not in our proper place of authority, the people under us in authority are going to struggle. They're going to struggle bad. Being under God's authority means obedience and submission to God. God's authority in my life. I believe one of the ways, one of the tests that we can use is to see if our lives are producing the fruit of the Spirit. A life that is in the proper place under God's authority will produce the fruit of the Spirit. I'd like to turn now to 1 Corinthians 11. Just look at the headship order a little bit. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 11. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So we have layers: God, Christ, man, woman. That's not something I said. That's what God said. Whenever we step outside of what God's plan is and his order of authority, we have problems and we have chaos. And there's times when that happens and we say there's problems. I don't know what's going on. And down the road, it comes around, and it's like, oh, someone was out of line in this group of people. A man had stepped out from under God's authority. A woman has stepped out from under man's authority. As school teachers, it's important that you are in your place of authority under God, under Christ, under man. Because when you step out of that, your students will not be able to tell you you're not under God's authority. But your students will know that something is not right. And they will act in ways that prove it. Something I've observed. There's one distinct memory I have of a home and observing young children and saying, something is not right. I have no idea, but there is something wrong. 6 months later, it came out what was wrong. But you could see it in the behavior of the children. Your students will know. The seriousness of not being in our proper place in the authority structure is that when we step out from under God's authority, we step under Satan's authority. Go back to Adam and Eve in the garden. They stepped out from under God's authority and placed themselves under Satan's authority. And that is why it becomes so obvious so quickly when someone in authority steps out from under, out of line. I didn't spend a lot of time looking at this, but you could take this further. But I was thinking about some of the areas that we are tempted to step out from under God's authority. And one of those is the area of worship. Who we're worshiping, how we're worshiping. And you take the children of Israel as they went through the desert. We can't see God. Moses has been gone for 40 days. We don't know where he's at, what's happened to him. Let's worship something else. Let's make something we can see to worship. There's our human nature is a very strong bent to worship. And we could take that and you could worship a lot of different things. Serving self. When we serve self, we step out of our place of authority. Pride. It's kind of the other side, to take authority that is not ours. When I try to take extra authority, again, it's simply a different way of, we often think of stepping outside of our authority as just moving out of line. Pride is when we try to climb a step above where we're supposed to be in that order. Taking authority that is not ours. Probably finish a little early here. I would like to now look at a few examples from the Bible of men. I already mentioned Joseph. But I'd like to look at a few others. Men who got out of place in their place of authority. Turn to Daniel chapter 4 to begin with. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was the world leader at the time. He was the king of the most powerful kingdom, empire of its day. He was a man who God had used. God had used him to punish the children of Israel. God had set him up. And as you read through the book of Daniel, you see King Nebuchadnezzar, and he kind of starts bumping up against God's authority. There's different things that happen, and he kind of keeps bumping up against that. And in chapter 4, God sent him a dream. And God said, this is what's going to happen if you do not keep in your place. Toward the end of the chapter, so he had this dream, very clear. You do not stay in your place. This is what's going to happen. In verse 29, at the end of 12 months, this would be King Nebuchadnezzar, walked in the palace in the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I did all this. I didn't need any help. I can handle it. Verse 31 says, while the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. You know how he became an animal? And 7 years, I believe, he lived as an animal. In verse 34, we have his testimony. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. In verse 37, I'll read that yet at the end. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Authority. King Nebuchadnezzar stepped outside of that authority and came up against God. And it was only after he recognized that, you know what, I can't do anything here. It's only God. That his life came back into line. He moved back into that place of authority. Look at Jonah. I won't turn there. Do you remember when God gave him a difficult assignment? Jonah said no. And he found a ship that was going the opposite direction. And there came a point in Jonah's experience when he said, I don't like going against God. It's not worth it. As unpleasant as it may be to take the message of God to these heathen people, the enemies, I'd rather do that than go against God's authority because it's not worth it. I don't know what 3 days inside a whale's stomach is, whatever it was. But it was enough to convince Jonah it was not worth going against God's authority. And he came to realize that it's only under God's authority that we can be free. I'd like to think about the Apostle Paul yet. The Apostle Paul tried to live under God's authority. He was zealous for God. But he had stepped outside of God's authority. He thought he was under God's authority, but he wasn't. He had stepped outside of that. And when he met God, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he gave his life under and placed his life under God's authority, what did he say? Lord, what do you want me to do? He thought he was doing the will of God. He honestly did. But when he actually stopped and said to Jesus, what do you want me to do? And then God revealed it to him. You look at the night and day difference in his life when he surrendered his life and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That goes for each one of us here this morning. Until we get to the place where our lives are under God's authority, when we are in the proper place under God's authority, and we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Everything else you've heard here, you might be academically a good teacher, but you will not succeed in your teaching if your life is not lined up under God's authority. And the reason this is so important is because as we look tomorrow at being under other people's authority, and the following day at being authority in other people's lives, it doesn't work if we are not under God's authority. That's where it begins. So that's my challenge for you today, is to think about it. Am I in my proper place under God's authority? Serious question for each one of us.